We'll go to Colossians, please, in our Bibles together. I know this will be a blessing to you here in Colossians chapter 4. Now, in this particular epistle, as in many of the Apostle Paul's epistles, he was closing it out by remembering certain people that had been a blessing or a help in his ministry. And that is the case here in Colossians chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. The Bible says, "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. And Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom you receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him, and Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas, greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, Nymphis, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen." So I'd like to entitle the message, Fellow Workers. Fellow Workers. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for the privilege to gather together around your word this morning. We pray you would use it in our lives to grow us and to teach us. Lord, we pray that our Savior Jesus Christ would be magnified in this time, that our hearts would be open to your word and to praising and worshiping you, Lord. And may your will be done in every life. We give you the service. Ask all this in the name of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So as you see in this passage, the Apostle Paul is recognizing people that have been a blessing to him. Paul was one of the greatest church planters that ever lived, but he didn't do it alone. He had a lot of help, a lot of people that traveled with him. And often, as we see, sometimes ended up in prison with him. But Paul always had helpers, and Paul wanted to recognize those people. But for us, as Christians, I believe Paul is showing us that we have a ministry, and that ministry involves others. And as we see here, Paul is pointing out that various ways in which we can be a blessing to one another. Now, we talked about this in Sunday school there in Acts chapter 2 in the first church. The Bible says where they came together and they were a blessing to one another and they encouraged one another. This is what God wants. He wants us as Christians to be these fellow workers, fellow servants with each other. And we're going to walk through this and understand that together this morning. So in verse 7, he talks about Tychicus and says he's a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. So one of the things that God wants for us as Christians is that we be fellow servants. In other words, that we work side by side. Fellow servants. That we serve the Lord together as a body. God doesn't want us to be an island. He wants us to be a force of Jesus Christ as a body in Christ. And this is a blessing that we have each other. You know, the Bible talks about all the things that we're to be for one another and do for one another, how we're to love one another. And one of the things that God wants is that we be fellow servants. Now, if you go to Ephesians chapter 2, just back a couple of books, the Apostle Paul explains that one of the reasons why we're to do these things together is because we are part of the same body. We are all part of the body of Jesus Christ. Notice in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, he says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." If you're here this morning and you are born again, you are a citizen of a new country. Amen? Heaven. That's what the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews. We are fellow citizens of a new country. We are now ambassadors of that new country called heaven. And God wants us to be fellow servants. He wants us to serve side by side. In Romans chapter 10, 12 verse 10, he says, when in honor preferring one another. In other words, putting each other first. That is part of being a Christian. We're told in Colossians 3:16 that we're to be loving and admonishing one another. In other words, encouraging each other in the faith. When we see a brother fall, when we see a brother hurting, we're there. So God wants us to be fellow servants. And how many times are we told in the book of 1 John to love one another? And that love is to be shown through what we do, like we saw there in Acts chapter 2 this morning. So the first thing that God wants us to be for each other is to be fellow servants. He wants us to serve the Lord, but He wants us to do it together. He wants us to be fellow servants. Secondly, notice in verse 8, He says, whom I've sent unto you for the same purpose, that He might know your estate and comfort your hearts. Now, the Bible refers to the Holy Spirit as the Comforter. And that is one of His ministries. When we need comfort, God gives us comfort. But the Bible teaches that some of the comfort from God actually comes through God's people. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I'll show you this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I'm going to refer to this one as a fellow helper. The first one we'll call a fellow servant. This one we'll call it a fellow helper. In other words, God wants us to be there and help and comfort one another because we're all going to go through trials. We're all going to go through struggles. And God wants us to be there for each other. That's part of being a brother and sister in Christ. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beautiful verse about this, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Now look at the next passage. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So he says, if we go through a particular type of a trial or a struggle and God gives us comfort, which he does, when we come across someone going through the same struggle and the same trial, we can now help comfort that person with the comfort wherewith we were comforted of God. We can help that person. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 now, if you would, and verse 23, where Paul gives this ministry a word. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 23. Wherefore, any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. So he's referring to Titus as a fellow helper. And God wants us to be not only fellow servants and serve side by side, but fellow helpers. He wants us to help one another. And there's a lot of ways we can help one another. We can comfort one another. We can encourage one another. We can admonish one another. We can even help meet one another's needs, which the Bible commands, 1 John chapter 3. If you see your brother have need, what's the Bible say? Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So God also wants us to be fellow helpers. Now moving on, verse 10 of our passage, Colossians chapter 4, he says, "Our Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner." Now, he's being literal here because Paul was in prison. And he didn't go to prison alone. Aristarchus was there too. He ended up in prison with Paul, along with Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas. Fellow prisoner. It means that these men suffered with Paul. Paul was suffering in prison and they were right there in the stocks beside him. And you know, there's an aspect of this in Christianity, you know the word empathy, where God wants us to be fellow prisoners. where God wants us to empathize with our brothers and sisters in Christ. When they're hurting, He wants us to hurt with them. And He talks about that over in Romans chapter 12, if you want to turn there. Romans chapter 12 and verse 15. God wants us to be fellow prisoners, because if you've been saved for longer than a couple of weeks, then you've probably been through a trial. And there's going to be more. And there's going to be more. That's part of being a Christian. Many of the afflictions of the righteous, the Bible says, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all, in Psalm 34:19. But one of the things that God wants us to do is to be a fellow prisoner. When we see a brother or sister going through an intense trial, what does God want us to do? But go through it with them. Help them carry that burden. Notice Romans 12:15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. That's called empathy. It's different from sympathy. It means that we empathize with them, that we hurt with them, that we rejoice with them. And Paul said that these guys, Aristarchus and Marcus, are my fellow prisoners. Yes, I'm sitting here in the stocks and I'm suffering physically while I'm writing this book, but these guys are suffering right alongside me. They are my fellow prisoners. And I believe God wants us all to be this for each other. The Bible talks about forbearing one another and forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel, as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. We are to be fellow prisoners for the Lord Jesus Christ. Number 4, verse 11 of our passage, Colossians 4. And Jesus, which is called justice, who are the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Now, fellow servant means we're serving side by side. Fellow worker, I believe he's talking about those who actually, you're carrying this, whatever it is, together. You're actually working on the same thing together as a group. He refers to Timotheus in Romans 16 as a work fellow. And in 1 Thessalonians 3, he refers to Timotheus as a fellow laborer. And remember, Paul planted the church there. Timothy did too. And then Timothy became the pastor that Paul inserted as the new pastor there. But they built that church together. They were fellow workers. Go to Galatians chapter 5, if you would. And the Bible talks about how we are here to serve not ourselves, but others. Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 13. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. So what is God saying here? We have liberty in Christ. The Old Testament's been nailed to the cross. We are not under the law. We have freedom in Jesus Christ. But what He's saying is, that doesn't mean He's given us this freedom so that we can go out and serve the flesh and please self. We've been given this freedom so that we can now go out and by love serve one another and be a fellow worker. This is what God wants of His people. He wants us to be fellow servants, fellow prisoners, and fellow workers, and fellow helpers. And then lastly, in verse 12 of our passage, he talks about Epaphras. He says he's a servant of Christ. He saluteth you, and he's always laboring fervently for you in prayers. This is what God wants. I'm going to refer to this one as a fellow soldier. Because part of the fight that we're fighting is we're fighting something we can't see. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We don't see our enemy, but we know the enemy's there. you know, this battle that Brother Anger's fighting in Malawi right now, the enemy isn't that missionary. The enemy is the devil. That missionary is just the devil's instrument. And we need to beseech the throne of God on behalf of that ministry and fight that battle with him and be a fellow soldier. Part of the fight that we're in is, again, against principalities and powers and the spiritual wickedness in high places. And the only way we can fight those things that we can't see is by accessing the throne of Almighty God. We see it in the book of Daniel, where Daniel prayed for Israel. He prayed for their restoration. And we see Michael coming and saying, I was on my way and I got held up by the devil. I was on my way to answer your prayer and be a blessing. There's a battle that we don't see that takes place every day in the spiritual realm, and it's real. And one of the best things that we can do is be a fellow soldier for one another. If you would, look over in Philippians 2, and I'll show you this word that Paul used. You know, Paul told Timothy, he said in 1 Timothy 6, fight the good fight of faith. Christianity is a fight. There's no question about it. The day we get saved, we enter into a battlefield. We're referred to as soldiers in the book of 2 Timothy. We're here to fight the devil and his helpers on the behalf of the souls of men and women, boys and girls, who are going to perish and go to hell without Jesus Christ. That's a fight. That's a battle. Notice Philippians 2:25. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier. He says, Epaphroditus is my fellow soldier. We are fighting together. And God wants us to fight together. And our enemy is the devil. And we're to fight him. And every time we get on our knees and pray for one another and execute our priestly office, which the Bible says that we're all priests in Jesus Christ, and pray for someone else, we are fighting. And I don't know about you, but I find prayer to be hard work. The flesh doesn't want to do it. The flesh can come up with 100 other things that I'd rather do than to pray. You know why that is? Because it's a spiritual battle. The devil hates it when we pray. Because when we pray, we are accessing the throne of the Creator of the universe. Amen? Think about that. And it's not that we're powerful or even that our prayers are powerful. It's that He's powerful. And because we're His child and we can access Him through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can now plead with the One who can do anything. What a beautiful thing. Go to Job chapter 16, if you would. Job talked about this. In the midst of his suffering, his friends, supposed friends, came and essentially accused him of sin that led to his suffering. Of course, they were wrong, and they found out at the end that they were wrong. But in the midst of that, Job mentioned something, basically rebuking his friends. But look what he said. Job 16, verse 21. He says, oh, that one might plead for a man with God as a man pleadeth for his neighbor. He's saying to those four friends, would it be nice if you guys would pray for me instead of attack me? Because they spent chapter after chapter after chapter attacking him and accusing him and telling him that they knew more than he did about God and so forth, rather than just praying for him. And he says, oh, that a man might plead for a man with God. What a thing. We are fellow soldiers. We are here to fight the devil and his helpers. And one of the best ways we can do that is when we get on our knees and pray for one another. Now, when we share the gospel with the lost, we're out on the battlefield, no question about it. Because the devil is going to do everything he can to blind their minds, to distract them so they can't hear the gospel. It is a battle. There's no question about it. But we are in this battle together. And that's why Paul referred to Archippus as his fellow soldier. He also referred to Epaphroditus as his fellow soldier. And we are fellow soldiers. And did you notice Epaphras here in verse 12? He says he labors fervently. It's not just, Brother Anger's got a need of Malawi, Lord, just work it out. No, that's not fervently. Fervently is begging God. That's fervently. Begging God for His intercession on the behalf of others. And that is a fight. But is it worth it? Absolutely. So God wants us to be fellow soldiers as well. We're referred to as soldiers many times in the New Testament. Verse 17, we'll finish there this morning of our passage, Colossians 4. Say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. And we'll talk a little bit more about this in Jeremiah tonight, chapter 1. But I believe God has a ministry for every one of us. A specific ministry. But there's no question that God wants every one of us to fulfill these specific things for one another. He wants us to be fellow servants, fellow helpers, fellow prisoners, fellow workers, and fellow soldiers. That's true for every one of us. All five of those things He wants. And as He says here to Archippus, fulfill it. If you understand that this is your ministry, that you minister to others, what does He say? Fulfill it. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to fulfill it. And you know, Jesus is going to hold us accountable for the things that we know. To whom much is given, much is required, the Bible says. And if we know it's our ministry to be a fellow servant and a fellow helper and a fellow prisoner and a fellow worker and a fellow soldier, God says, fulfill it. Fulfill your ministry. Go over to 1 Corinthians 16, if you would. And I just want to show you where, again, Paul is finishing a book and he's pointing out some of his helpers and people that have been a blessing to him. And he specifically mentions the household of Stephanas, and I wanted you to see why he points them out. And this is really what God wants from all of us. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, 16:15. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Now, we hear so much today about people being addicted to this and addicted to that. This is what God wants us to be addicted to. The ministry of the saints. God wants us to be addicted to it. To being a blessing to others. To being that fellow soldier. Being that fellow worker, that fellow prisoner, that fellow helper, that fellow servant. That's what God wants. Addicted to the ministry of the saints. And as he said there to Archippus, now that you know your ministry, fulfill it. Do it. It's one thing to know it, it's another thing to do it. So God's will is that we be those fellow workers for each other. This is how He designed it. This is how it works. He didn't make us each to go off and just be an island. He made us to work together. We are an army. For Jesus Christ. And our general, or our captain, is the most powerful one in the universe. Amen? So we're in good shape. We're on the winning side. He's on our side. He's given us all the weapons that we need. We have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we have the power of prayer. We have the Holy Spirit. We're equipped. He says, now go do it. Fulfill it. Be that fellow worker for Jesus Christ. Amen.